You're going to find out in about a half hour why you want to join our Mike McFeely text club. We're going to have an experimental prize giveaway in about a half hour. So you'll want to join our text club. You'll want to send the word Mike, M-I-K-E, to short code 35270, 35270, and you'll become a member of our text club and get all kinds of updates on the Mike McFeely Show and other things happening here at KFGO, including maybe some blog posts that I have, some great guests, giveaways, things like that. And also, if you're a member of our text club today, you got an alert earlier today saying that Jerry Bader from WTAQ, WSAU, and WHBL in Wisconsin was going to join us at 3:05 to hash over some political topics that perhaps Jerry and I don't agree on. I'd like to welcome to the show right now, Jerry Bader from our colleague from Wisconsin. Hello, Jerry. How are you?
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing better than Green Bay Packer fans today because Greg Jennings apparently is making claims. Now, he's a Minnesota Viking wide receiver after being a Packer wide receiver for a long time. Greg Jennings is saying, I was brainwashed in Green Bay. It's an organization that brainwashes into thinking that it's the greatest organization on the face of the earth. I'm not sure about this, Jerry. I'm not not sure if the Packers.
I think he's lost his mind. Really, that it's brainwashing for an NFL franchise to tell you you're the best. That concept is foreign to the Vikings, that explains a lot.
Jennings also, by the way, and I know you know this, has been really taking some shots at Aaron Rodgers. He's been saying, number 12 is a good quarterback, but, it's not always about the quarterback. And, that guy they have playing, he won't say him by name. He'll just call him that guy or number 12.
So that number 12 was a reference to Rodgers? I thought that was Christian Ponder's passer rating.
Well, that's probably true, too. But are there things happening in Green Bay that you need to be worried about? Because now today I saw that there was a couple of fights at training camp today, that they're getting after each other. Was it the offensive lineman that blew his knee out and the Packers canceled practice one day because of that? Are there signs of a crack in the mighty Packers?
Yeah, the fighting, that doesn't bother me, quite frankly. That you get that at training camp, guys get a little chippy, they're trying to prove something. The injuries are scaring the you-know-what out of me. Brian Bulaga is a devastating loss. Left tackle on a revamped offensive line. Aaron Rodgers hit the dirt 51 times last year. That is the last thing that you need, especially when you've drafted a couple of running backs you think is going to improve the running game. Jordy Nelson, key wide receiver, of course, missing all of preseason. This is not a family night, for the love of Pete. They haven't played a preseason game yet. That's what's scaring me. Yeah, I actually am worried about the injuries.
And, of course, you're missing Greg Jennings, who was a top receiver for the Packers for many years. Is this going to get the Vikings closer to the Packers? I think it's going to have to. I mean, the Packers still have got to be the team to beat, but the Vikings aren't bad. I mean, they're a playoff team from a year ago that have made a couple of improvements. This might be an interesting NFC North this year.
Well, the Packers have Aaron Rodgers and the Vikings have Adrian Peterson. Whenever you have a player of that caliber, and I know this sounds stupid, but when you're talking about the two players of that caliber, you're in it. And if, in fact, Greg Jennings can make Christian Ponder a better quarterback, who knows? They could be improved.
We talked about this before, I think, on your program last week, but actually the onus is on Ponder. I mean, Jennings is who he is. He's a fine receiver, better than what the Vikings had last year, but it's up to Ponder to get him the ball. And that's the big argument going on among Vikings fans is how much do you trust Ponder to get Jennings the ball and how much do you get Jennings the ball when you have Adrian Peterson in the backfield? I mean, do you take away from Adrian Peterson's carries to allow Christian Ponder to throw the ball, or what do you do? I mean, that's the question.
I think that's a good problem, though. How do you use all these offensive weapons you have?
Yeah, that's right. All right, let's get to far less serious stuff than Vikings-Packers football. Let's talk about some political things. Jerry, yesterday on this program, United States Senator Heidi Heitkamp was on the show, and she was talking about the farm bill in specific, but she referenced her frustration with the way things are going in Washington. I'm going to play a sound cut for you. I hope you can hear it. And I want you to respond to it, and we'll talk about it when she's done. This is Senator Heidi Heitkamp from yesterday.
The fight here isn't necessarily Democrat-Republican. It's within the Republican caucus mm-hmm. on how we're going to move these policies forward. But, you know, once again, we're being held hostage to the absolute most radical of elements as we try and find solutions and predictability for Americans. And it is the single greatest source of my frustration in the first 8 months that I've been in Congress.
What do you think about that, Jerry? As a conservative that you are, do you feel that your side of the aisle has a caucus that's holding, a radical caucus that's holding not only the Republicans hostage, but I would say the nation hostage by failing to go along with a lot of bipartisan good ideas that are coming out of Washington?
No, I don't. And but I will say this, and I sent you a piece that I did this week. You do have some showboating going on. I'll tell you that right now. When you've got, and I'm sure you're familiar with Senator Ron Johnson, the freshman senator from Wisconsin, replaced Russ Feingold, Tea Party darling, far-right conservative lawmaker, suddenly being called a rhino, which is about as dumb a thing as I've ever heard in my entire life. Now, let's step away from the Farm Bill for a moment just to make the point. Ron Johnson doesn't think defunding Obamacare will work. He wants to stop Obamacare. I don't think that's radical. He doesn't think that will work. So what happens is, we got Mike Lee, Ted Cruz, some others, who, nope, this is what's got to be done. And if you're not with us, well, by gosh, you're not conservative enough for us. That, I think it's, quite frankly, some people who are using extreme positions in terms of tactic and strategy, Mike, not so much belief system, but tactic and strategy to score media points and to score base points. And I think that's a problem. Ron Johnson, still a dyed-in-the-wool conservative. He doesn't think defunding will work, so he shouldn't be demonized by the likes of Ted Cruz and Lee. I think there's a lot of that going on. I don't know if that's what Senator Heitkamp was referring to, but there's that type of posturing, and I think, quite frankly, and you touched on this last week when we talked on your show, that is going, and that's what Ron Johnson said on my show, that is going to be the death of Republicans if that continues.
And that's, you know, from my standpoint, fine. You know, keep at it. Keep, as you said in your...
Oh, I'm sure.
and as you said in your piece that you sent me, you're eating your young. You know, Republicans are eating one another, and that's fine. From a political standpoint, it's good comedy, high comedy for me, but it doesn't accomplish anything. And I agree that a lot of it is showboating, but at the same time, when you're talking about something like the Farm Bill, okay, I think we all agree that we need to have some sort of farm bill, that something needs to pass. The far right wing, again, is splitting this off. They're making it a nutrition bill. They're making it an ag bill. They're muddying up the whole process when the United States Senate passed a very moderate bipartisan farm bill that would move the country forward. So I think it even goes beyond showboating, Jerry, that the country is being hurt in some ways by these far-right people who they just don't want to give in anything. It's like they have a principle, Jerry, which, hooray for them, we all have principles, but to accomplish anything, to move the country forward, you have to give in on something sometime. And it seems to me that many of these guys and women don't want to do that. It's their way or the highway, and that's crippling the democratic process.
Well, I think the Farm Bill was far from moderate when you look at the SNAP spending level that was in there. And you and I have debated this before. I believe you split them up. I understand your reservations with that, but make those two separate bills.
And you're still it's not going to happen, though, Jerry. I mean, that's just not going to happen.
So
if you want to stick to your guns on that, then specifically on the Farm Bill, nothing's going to happen, and we're going to revert to the old farm bill.
Okay, so in other words, you're saying Democrats are going to be so obstinate they're not going to move on that. So why is all of that on Republicans?
Well, but they've already moved on some things, Jerry. They've already come to some compromises in terms of cutting some things from SNAP and other things that actually liberal Democrats were incensed about in the first place. And so there's already been some movement from that side. And I agree. It goes both ways. If liberal Democrats are going to be incensed at any cuts at all, that's no different than far righties
right.
saying, no, you can't do that. But the Senate came to an agreement. Not everybody liked it on both sides of the aisle. So that tells me that it's somewhere in the middle. It must be somewhat moderate. And so then why can't the Ted Cruz and the others give in an inch? I mean, I don't think it helps them politically. If Ted Cruz wants to be president, how can being an obstructionist help him in this case, Jerry?
See that, and that's where I'll go back where you said it's not all showboating. I got, and I won't name names, Ted Cruz. But quite frankly, that is showboating. Even on you and I disagree on how moderate that proposal was, and we're never going to agree on that. But Ted Cruz is in this. I'm the most conservative this is ever, and that's a problem.
Okay. All right. Let's take some phone calls if you'd like. 237-594-8800-880-5346. KFGO.studio at MWCradio.com is our email. Jerry Bader, WTAQ-WHBL-WSAU, our guest on the Mike McFeely Show. He is a conservative talk show host, and judging by the Arbitron books that I got a peek at here this afternoon, a very highly rated one throughout much of Wisconsin. And so let's have this discussion. When we return with Jerry, a conservative piece came out that said, here are 16 reasons why Hillary Clinton will win the presidency in 2016. Now, Jerry and I have hashed this over before, but there's a new twist. The 16 reasons to me seem to be about 5 reasons and then 11 we hate the media reasons, according to this conservative writer. It's the media's fault type of thing. We'll talk with Jerry about why his side of the aisle obsesses so much over the liberal media, which doesn't exist, by the way. But more of that to come on the Mike McFeely Show. Stick around. You got to win. .21 in the afternoon on this Thursday afternoon on the mighty 790 KFGO. Joined by Jerry Bader from our colleague stations in the Midwest Communications family at WTAQ in Green Bay, Packers country, WSAU Wausau, also Packers country, WHBL in Sheboygan, also Packers country. Jerry, first of all, a quick congratulations. I was digging through some ratings books today, and I see that those three stations did very well in the markets in which they are in Wisconsin, and I'm sure much of that has to do with you and your program, so congratulations on that. You're a much-listened-to gentleman in Wisconsin.
Well, I appreciate that. We're no KFGO, but we try.
Oh, I think you're doing okay, from what I can tell. You're doing okay. All right. I sent you a link earlier, Jerry. Somebody from the Daily Beast, conservative writer named Myra Adams, wrote 16 reasons why Hillary Clinton will win in 2016. And you and I can debate whether or not she's going to run or not or win the nomination or not. But this writer's taken the belief that she is going to run and will win. Okay. And so many of her answers or so many of her reasons why Hillary is going to win are media based, that it's media bias and the media will do this and the media will decide that Hillary will win. And when I read through it, Jerry, I thought, come on, really? I mean, you really believe as a conservative that it's the media that's going to vault Hillary Clinton to the presidency and not her policies, not her popularity, not her anything, her experience. It's only going to be the media that does this to this in this election. Do you subscribe to that, Jerry, or are you more reasonable than that?
I wouldn't say only, but it's probably the single largest factor. I mean, Mike, I was laughing out loud when you said there's no media bias. Let me give you just a couple quick examples here. President Obama could not think of Jill Biden's name. If that happened, if George W. Bush couldn't think of Lynn Cheney's name, that's all you would be hearing throughout the news today. My gosh, what does this tell us? He doesn't even know his vice president's wife's name. It would be on and on. Remember when Dan Quayle was defined by what word? Potato. Because he spelled it the way it was spelled on the card for him by a teacher. Now, compare this, Mike, and I would love to have you answer this. What's dumber, Dan Quayle spelling potato the way a teacher spelled it on the card, or President Obama pronouncing Corman corpsman?
Well, that's not very good either way. But when conservatives say that it's a media bias and that all of the media are liberal and it's this huge, you know, rolling ball to get Democrats elected, what you're forgetting, Jerry, is that people like you make it a non-liberal media, right? I mean, I didn't do it purposefully. I'm not setting you up, but you get great ratings where you are. You have lots of listeners. You influence thousands of people. Who's the king of talk radio in this country? It sure as heck isn't Mike McFeely or any other liberal or progressive. It's Rush Limbaugh. It's Sean Hannity. It's Glenn Beck. Conservatives control the radio. They control cable TV. Fox News, by far the highest rated cable news station. How can you say that it's a liberal media bias? Conservatives have just as much media as progressives do, Jerry.
That's ridiculous. When you look at the reach of ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, New York Times, LA Times, Washington Post, even though newspapers are on the wane, they are still very influential. And for crying out loud, you're going to say that there's not a media bias after Candy Crowley played phone-a-friend with President Obama during a debate?
Well, but Jerry, you're making the assumption, which is wrong, that ABC, NBC, CBS, and every major daily newspaper
are.
They are not. They are not. No, I'm not. They're not biased, Jerry. They're not a liberal wing of the Democratic Party. It's nothing of the sort. They're news organizations reporting the news. It's conservatives. It's the far right that look at these organizations. Brent Bozell? He's made a living with Media Matters out of pointing out alleged media bias. It just plays into the paranoia and the conspiracy of the right wing in this country.
So when Scott Pelley, who is the anchor for CBS News, inserts himself in a Republican primary debate and starts debating with Newt Gingrich, that's not bias.
It's having a debate. He's not allowed to do that.
He's not a candidate.
It doesn't matter, Jerry. He's a moderator. He's a question asker. He can do that. You and I can engage and engage each other and have a debate. Why can't anybody else? I mean, the only way the conservatives will be satisfied is if they get Jerry Bader or Brent Bozell or Sean Hannity to be the moderators of debates, both Republican and Democrat. Then they'll feel, okay, good. Now we have our guys in there, and it's going to be fair and square.
Now, okay, look, for years we said Dan Rather was a liberal. Knowing what you know about him post-career, would you deny that?
Well, no, that's one example. I mean, so you're
one
you saying
example
that,
on a major
yes.
network, CBS.
Well, sure.
He was the face of that network
sure.
for 20-some years.
Just like Sean Hannity is a major face of Fox News and a highly rated radio show, and he's openly conservative, as Rush
and,
Limbaugh
and
is
the,
as well.
There's the operative. Okay, there's the operative word, Mike. Openly, Dan Rather and the others that you deny, which are every bit as liberal as he, want to pretend that they're this objective reporter. We wear it on our sleeves. That's the difference.
All right, Jerry, we're out of time. Thanks for coming on again. You're nuts if you think that the media are biased, but that's a whole, we can continue the conversation some other time.